want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. I've really wrestled with exactly what to do here today, and a lot of things sometimes I struggle. I struggle in trying to not to be repetitive. I struggle in trying to bring fresh bread and lay it on the table. So I was really trying to discern and trying to discover, God, is this really what you want for today? And I love the Lord, don't you? And I am so thankful that what God does and how God does what He does. You can preach around in similar proximity of a message, and then you'll go back 6 or 8 months, a year, and go back through that message again, and you won't preach it the same way. I promise you, you won't preach it. But here's what the good Lord above put in my heart, because I was trying to really decide if this was what I was going to do today, and this is what I believe God spoke to me and said these words to me. The people that was here the last time that you preached that are not the same people that are going to be here this morning. So I want to just talk to you today about a very serious topic, and it's one that I don't know that I can actually justify, and one that we can get through in just a few minutes of time. But I want to address something this morning that I feel like that Paul, over and over again, Paul dealt with this very topic throughout Scripture. And I want to take for a thought this morning, armed for battle. You can go through the Word of God and you can go into the Old Testament and you can read about Israel. It's everywhere you go, it seems like that there was a Brother Beckner, another it that came up to fight the children of Israel, whether it be the Ammonites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, all throughout the Scripture, it was the it's that came up and fought the children of God. And I know today that those things that we look at in the Scripture in the Old Testament sense are also the things that you and I deal with today. They may not be the ites, as I can call them today, but they are battles going on. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a spiritual battle. I don't know if you've ever felt like that you were fighting the very enemy of your soul. I don't know if you've ever been in a place in your life that where it seemed like that oppression had sat down on top of you. I don't know if you've ever been to the place that depression had came to you. I don't know if you've ever been to a place in your life that it seemed like that the pressures of life was so severe that I've told my wife in years and days gone by that things has been so hard and so bad at times in my life, I can only talk about me, that it's like you had a vice on the side of my head and you were just turning it and turning it and turning it, and it was getting tighter and tighter and tighter. If that's you today, you're in spiritual warfare and you're in a battle today. Now, I'm only going to be able to get part of this done. I'm not going to be able to get all of it done. So hopefully I can revisit this and work along through some of the things that I want to get through. But before I even get into the message, I want us to understand that 2,000 years ago at Calvary, there was a prophecy that was fulfilled. And the prophecy was written in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Bible says that there would be one that would come and that he was going to actually bruise the heel of this individual. The heel of the individual is Jesus. We know that. When Jesus went to the cross, the very enemy of our soul, hell, was having a ball. Hell thought, we got him now, we got him now, we got him now. When they opened up Joseph's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea, and they put Jesus into the tomb of Joseph, and Nicodemus was there to assist him. In the spiritual realm, there was a party that was going on. And the party was there because they finally got Jesus. They finally got the one that was the very one that was prophesied about. But we've got to remember something today. Even though the Bible said he would bruise the heel, there was a word that went forth and he said, but he's going to crush your head. The enemy today, my friend, is a defeated foe. Don't you ever forget that. The enemy today is a defeated foe. He's going to go about, as the Bible says, he roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But yet Ephesians 4 and 27 gives you and I the greatest advice that says, neither give place to the devil. But even though you don't give place to him, we do realize that the enemy will come back. I think last week or week before when I was preaching, I actually mentioned this when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness and he was there 40 days and he had hungered and he had fasted. He was there for that period of time, and the Bible said that the enemy had come and the enemy had tempted him and tested him, if you will. But yet at the end of that, in the Luke chapter number 4, the Bible just simply said that the devil leaveth him for a season. When you look into Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10, there's actually 10 verses of Scripture that I know I probably won't get to. But I want you to understand the premise of where I'm at with this, and hopefully we can walk through some of these things together. When Paul was writing and Paul was at the end of the book of Ephesians, and he was writing to that church of Ephesus, and where that Paul had given them all sorts of instructions, family instructions, marital instructions, children's instructions, that Paul finally, right there to end, when Paul was writing this, this is one of the things that Paul wrote. He said, finally, when Paul wrote that, it was like, this is the capsulation. This is the conclusion. This is all in one at the end of what I had written to you that I want you to really see. And Paul was writing this and Paul said, finally, don't forget this, my brethren. Paul was writing that to the church. He was writing that to those who had believed. And he was writing this to a group of individuals that really needed to know that God was for them and not against them. Paul was writing to them to encourage them. Paul was writing this to them for them not to grow battle weary, if you will. If there's ever been a day, if there's ever been a time in the life of the Church of America, I believe it's the day and the hour that we're living in. I believe there's so many churches today and so many people today, maybe even sitting under the sound of my voice, you've been in the fight for a long, long time. Maybe you feel like you're the one that can't hardly put one foot in front of the other. Maybe you feel like that you have went the last mile. I got a word from heaven for you today. Honey, hang on. Hang on, because God is for you and God is not against you. You may be in the battle, but I'm telling you, your elder brother Jesus is the warrior out in front of you, and you don't have to tuck tail and run. You don't have to run. Today, the Bible said that we are martyrs. But he comes and he reminds us that you've got to be strong. When you think about that word strong, we look at this in so many ways. We see what Paul was actually writing here. He says to be strong, and in the word, again, when we look at this, it is a Greek word, endunameo. And I'm not a Greek person, by the way, just let you know that. He says that this word in the Greek is a word that means to be empowered. Isn't it the psalmist that says that my help cometh from the Lord? Hallelujah. It's the psalmist that recognized, oh, where can I go but to you, O Lord? Is it not the psalmist that was able to pen the words that God said, that the psalmist said, that my God is a refuge and my God is a shelter. He's a strength. He's a very present help in trouble. So the Bible says for you and I to be endued, to be clothed upon, if you will, in to be strong and to be clothed upon, to be endued with power and strength. He says to be strong in the Lord. Now I want to jump real fast to the Old Testament. You know Joshua, and when Joshua was the successor of Moses, and you know everything that had to do with the children of Israel in the wilderness. But what was it that God told Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1? What was it that he told him there when you look in Joshua 1 in verse number 5? When he begins to pen these words and he says these words as God spoke to him, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." I don't know, but I feel a rumbling in my heart today. I feel a rumbling in my spirit today that God is telling the people in this room, that God is telling Thomasville Church of God, you may go through the fire, but the fire is not going to in, but my friend, that little kitty cat is going to go sit down in the corner because I've sent the angel of God by to protect you. God says, be strong in Him and in the power of His might. It is no time for you and I to do anything other than what God told us to do, and that is to be strong. He said to Joshua, he said, "I'll not forsake thee." Verse 6, rolling forward, he says this in the word, "Be strong and of a good courage." Be strong and be of a good courage. I need to prophesy to somebody here today. Oh, your eyes have grown dim and your spirit has grown weak. But the Lord says, "I'm coming by your way today." And God says for me to tell you, that He's going to refresh your vision. You're going to walk out of this room today and you're no longer going to be seeing through the eyes that you walked in with. God says, "I'm going to renew you. I'm going to restore you." And I'm going to go a little further to say this. God says, "I'm going to give you the very longing of your heart." He knows what. Maybe you have been drifting. Maybe you have been out of touch with God for a long time. But God says to come back home and to come back to Him. God says, "I'm going to restore you. I'm going to strengthen you. And you will no longer be out." Oh, praise God today. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not without words. I'm just enjoying the sunshine. S-O-N. Praise God for him today. He told Joshua. I can only imagine when Joshua was going and they were getting ready to do everything that they had to do on the other side of the river. Jordan was there and all the other places that they were going to go to. The Jordan River, they had to pass over and all the obstacles, and Jericho was just on the other side. They went across the river and started a battle. Just right there, there it was. Isn't it amazing how you can be in church and hear a good word and get about a half a mile, quarter of a mile down the road from the church and all hell breaks loose? And I don't mean that word in a bad way. I mean it's all the demons of hell that's all of a sudden causing chaos and causing confusion. And kids are screaming, wife are hollering, husband are hollering, fussing and a go. I start to say fussing and a cussing, but we don't want to say that, do we? There ain't nobody in this room cusses. I hope not. Not much anyway. But he says, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Be of good courage. And then he says, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse number 7, because we're going to verse 9, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Let me just say this going forward. You're never going to live in this life without a spiritual battle. I am never going to live for Jesus and be a success in living for Him without somewhere along the way the devil rearing up his old ugly head and using somebody somewhere to try to do anything and everything that they can do to keep me from being encouraged in the Lord. The Bible says we've got to be strong, endued with power from on high. I'll get into that later. But he says, and to be courageous, to be filled with courage. And I'm not going to go the Wizard of Oz direction this morning, but that's one thing. I think it was the line. He just wanted courage. And you know what? I believe if God tells us to be filled with courage, guess what? I believe God's going to supply that. When we get into a situation and we know, Brother Robert, that we've got to stand and God tells us to stand, God is not going to tell us to do something that He is not going to equip us to do. The Bible reminds us in Jesus told His disciples, He told them to go over to the upper room and to wait and to pray and to tarry and to wait until they be what? Endued with power from on high. That word endued actually is a word that means to be clothed upon. Just like you would put a garment on and you being clothed with power from on high. This is how we win the battle. We do not win the battle with the intellect. We do not win the battle with intelligence. And I'll get into that at some point. We don't win the battle that way. We win the battle by being clothed with the Holy Ghost and the glorious power from heaven. In Acts chapter 1 verse number 8, you know this. He says when you look in Acts 1 and verse number 8, this is what the Word of God says. He says there in the Scripture, she's going back to the New Testament, but you shall receive power. That is why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes and He fills us and He baptizes us. In Jesus, when we're born again, we're baptized into the body of Christ, but now we're endued with power from on high. We're baptized by the Holy Ghost, and now He resides and He fills us with dunamis, my friend. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And then the Bible says you shall be witnesses. And then He talks about that. Brother Scott mentioned this a few weeks ago, and He talks about in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. But He teaches us that we're to be witnesses unto Him. When we think about again what Paul was saying, he teaches us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When we begin to think about this church, we begin to think about the early church. We begin to think about those who were instrumental in writing the Scripture and in recording the Scripture. Luke the physician is the one that wrote in the book of Acts, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. But one of the things that Luke was telling us in the book of Acts is simply this, that there was times in the New Testament where that they had to have the supernatural strength of God. I have a tendency to think I'm not going to get past right here. And I've got pages of stuff that I've studied and written, but I want to just talk to you for a minute. When we can't, God will. What do you mean by that, preacher? When you do your best, when you do everything you can do, and God wants us to do everything we can do, then God supernaturally gets involved. And by that I mean there are people under the sound of my voice. You've had circumstances and situations work out in front of you that you did not know how it was going to work out. But you held on to God. You stayed strong. You stayed filled with the Spirit. You stayed filled with the power of His might. But watch this. Even though Peter was instrumental in the upper room, even though Peter was the first sermon, if you will, Brother Beckner, once the Holy Ghost came down and Peter began to preach unto them and Peter began to tell them that these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that God said that I was going to pour out my Spirit. Peter was a recipient of that. Watch this, this is very important. Just because the three Hebrew children were children of God, that did not keep them from Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. Just because Daniel was the individual that Daniel was, it did not keep Daniel from the lion's den. Just because Peter was the first spokesman coming out of the book of Acts, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, it did not keep Peter from the martyrdom that they were going to do. They were actually going to martyr Peter, but they did not do that because it was the time of the Passover. And you can see this in the book of Acts chapter number 12, and it's right there. I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of that. But I do want to see a couple of things, because here in the scripture in the book of Acts chapter 6, again, we're not going to actually stay there for a long, long time, but it was there that Peter was bound between two soldiers with chains, and they were those that God spoke to and said, go and get Peter. And as Peter began to get up, the angel of the Lord showed up and told Peter, bind your sandals, get yourself up, put your garment on and follow me, there in verse number 8. And then we see that Peter begins the process of going through the second ward, and then through there that God said that these gates that led to the city opened of their own accord. And then the Bible said in verse number 11, and when Peter was come to himself, in other words, Peter was in the Spirit, Peter was by the Spirit, and the angel of God was there, then he says this, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the tell somebody in this room that when the Lord comes on the scene and the Lord sets you free, the Bible said that you shall be free indeed. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, just like Paul and Silas over in Acts chapter number 16, they had took them and they had beat them, they had stripped their clothes off of them, they had put them in the inner prison. And the Bible said, but at midnight, they heard them singing praises unto God, and God. That was the first rock and roll. Amen. Singing, and the rocks was a-tumbling. And my friend, the angel of the Lord came, opened up the prison bars of the prisoners that was escaped, and the jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you may be going through it today, but keep singing your song, Brother Steve. You may be going through it today, but don't you throw in the towel. You may be going through it today, don't you quit on the it's right in front of you. It's the next chapter. It's right around the corner. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying be strong in the Lord and in the power. Your miracle is on the way. So we see this in the scripture. We see this when Paul was telling this young man by the name of Timothy what we've got to do. And in 1 Timothy, I'm going to turn there with you because I want to look at it myself. When you look in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and I believe this is probably about as far as I'm going to get this morning. I want to preach another hour. I really do. It's in my spirit today to do that. Because I've not even barely scratched Ephesians chapter 6. Because I need to tell somebody today that God is for you. And I need to tell somebody today, if you quit now, you're not going to get your miracle. If you quit now, you're not going to see the outcome. If you don't stand now, you'll never see the promised land as Israel did. But this is what God told this young man by the name of Timothy. And we're going to try to walk through a few things really, really fast. So in this, Timothy was being written to by Paul. And this is what I want to remind you. God, through the book of Ephesians, told him. He didn't say, fight there. Did he? He told him to stand there. Now I'll get through a lot of this. So he told him to stand there, but Paul told Timothy in this scripture. When you look in 1 Timothy 6, in verse number 11, this is what he says. He says, but thou, O man of God, woman of God, he says, flee these things and follow righteousness, goodness. And these things are those things that are against God. You can go back to the first part of chapter 6 and read those things. And the things that Paul was actually telling Timothy, don't get tangled up in all the mess. Don't get tangled up. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get all messed up in those things. And then he comes back and he says, but these are the things, man of God, that I want you to do. As you stand, he says, follow after righteousness. That's what he says. Those things that are right in the eyes of God. Don't misunderstand my words, because a lot of this I didn't even think about when I was studying. Y'all ready? Anybody can pick a fight. But it takes a real man or a woman of God to stand in righteousness while you're in the middle of the fight. Are you with me? I hadn't even thought about that. I hadn't thought about that at all. But because what Paul was writing to Timothy, these revilings and all these things is bitterness and bickering and squabbling and don't get tangled up in all that. But he says here in the Word, he says, goodness, follow after righteousness, follow, man of God, after godliness. Godliness, those things that God is pleased with. Follow after faith, follow after love, follow after patience, follow after meekness. And then in verse number 12, this is where it shifts, because Paul was telling Timothy, sometimes you've got to take a stand. Taking a stand, sometimes you may have to stand by yourself. If you're the only one that can stand for godliness or righteousness or holiness and purity, the Word of God, the real Bible, if you're the only one that you have to stand alone. Stand alone. But he says this in the Word. He says, fight the good fight of faith. So when Paul is writing to in Ephesians, and he teaches us in the Word to stand and to be strong in the Lord, he's talking about your faith. Because here is where Paul was actually writing to Timothy, because Paul knew what was ahead in Timothy's life, where he talked about that men would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They would be effeminate. They would be all kinds of disgusting lifestyles that actually are prominent in our culture today, that the culture is standing in the corner applauding while the church is asleep. But this is what Paul said. You stand for faith. You stand strong. Can I tell you that right is still right and wrong is still wrong? Somebody said, well, we live in a different culture today and we have to be more accepting and all this. And let me tell you something, friend. Listen closely. I don't want to be misquoted. I love everybody. I'm not mad at anybody. But I will stand and defend this word. And I will just stand strong. And what's wrong is wrong. And what's right is right. And they may be gender confused in the schoolhouse, but we're not gender confused in God's house. We still know a man from a man and a woman from a woman. And there are those today that will defend that, and I'll get all that mess later. There will be those that will defend that today and say, well, it really don't matter today. Yes, it does matter, friend. The Bible says that the devil, and I'll get more into it as I walk through this, and the Bible says that the devil as a wily fox, if you will, it's the little foxes that spoils the vine. And the Bible says that we're to be guarded and armed that we might be able to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil, the trickery and the scheme of the devil. And the devil has done one thing in our society today. I'm not going to do what Brother Scott mentioned these things earlier about how people would turn people out for the things years ago. That's not what I'm talking about, friend. That is not what I'm talking about. The people back in the 40s and the 50s, they don't have a clue what we're having to deal with in culture in 2024. Matter of fact, they didn't think that the church would even be here in 2024. But we're still here. And you know what? These are cultural issues that we've got to address in the church today and still love people and let them know that we love them, but we are not going to celebrate their sin. We can't if we stand on the Word of God. Now, I hope I didn't make anybody mad with all that. But this is what the Bible says. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called. And this is what Paul was telling Timothy and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. When you look at this again, he reminds us to fight the good fight of faith. Really quick, really fast, we can see that where Jude, if you look in the book of Jude, Jude is the one that actually says that we are to contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Can I tell you, and as I try to wrap this up for a minute, if I let down my standard, Sherry lets down her standard, Lynn lets down her standard, Janice lets down her standard, and then Reva lets down her standard, Marty lets down her standard, and it goes on and on and on, that the whole thing is that we will never be able to distinguish the difference between the church and the world. And God says in the Scripture, and I'm a little sidetracked for a minute, but this is what He's, no, I'm not. I'm right where I thank you, Lord. I'm right where I need to be. Because He says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Amen. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot have a divided allegiance. You're either for God or against God. And the battle that you're fighting right now may be the very fact that you're straddling the fence and you don't know who you are. Amen. You don't know if you're on God's side or the devil's side. You don't know if you're on God's side or the world's side. But Joshua was told, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He told the Baalites, the people that was worshiping Baal, he said, if Baal be, God will serve him. And then he went through the whole scenario of pouring the barrels on and God calling down fire from heaven, and heaven fell and licked up all the barrels and water, and all the people made a decree that day to let God be God. Let God be God. And we see this today. And again, I just barely barely got into this. Barely. I gotta turn one more place. And I know that, again, as I said in the very beginning, I know that you know this, but in this scripture, the Bible teaches us in verse 11, he says, let me read this really quick. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. We're going to talk about that. Why do you need your armor on? That you might be able to stand against the wiles, the attacks, the schemes, the plans of the devil. Then he comes back and he says in verse number 12, and again, we can work through this a little later. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, what does he say? Stand. There comes a time the church has got to stand for what God says. Let me read this, then I'm gonna try to wrap it up. When you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I've actually read this so many, verse 3. I've actually read this so many times. For Paul was saying this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The ranks and the authority in the unseen world that comes against the church, comes against you. But let me remind you, you don't have to cow to them. They're already defeated. They're already under his feet. The Bible says, but thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're already more than a conqueror. But he will keep coming. The Bible says in this text, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. Don't you know for a minute that the devil would love. Brother Scott mentioned it great in Sunday school. The devil would love to get me and Brother Gallimore to fall out with each other. He would love to get a brother or a sister to fall out with each other. And all the time behind the scenes, while brethren and sisterns is a squabbling and going at it, the devil's back there going, yep, I got him. He's laughing and having a heyday. Here's the thing. When are we, the church, going to recognize this at large, and understand that these things are not of God and these things are brought in by Satan? One thing that I've tried to clarify throughout pastoral ministry, not just at Thomasville, but at large. I've had people look at me and they've said, I know what you're thinking about me. And I'm going, wow, a psychic in my midst. A mind reader in my midst. I wasn't thinking nothing about them. But yet in their mind, Brother Bob, they had already determined, and it had already been a seed thought of the devil that had been put in their mind, that I was thinking something about them that had nothing to do with the conversation. I had a person at this church years ago, right after I first come here, look at me and say, I know what you're thinking. And I told that person then, never make the mistake that you know what I'm thinking, because you don't. I told that person, I said, don't you ever think that you know what I'm thinking. Because I really thought to myself then, Sandra, if you really knew what I was thinking, you'd really know how much I don't like you right now. But that's not what they were thinking, you know. I said all that to say this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The battle that you're having today is the enemy of your soul. And then he says, fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to talk about faith a little later, because that's one of the things that you can arm yourself with to fight the enemy when he comes at you, is faith in God. Again, I don't have time. I told you I could preach another hour. I can't. He said, we do not war after the flesh. Next verse, really quick. Verse 4. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. when you get this thing called a stronghold, it's like, you know, Roger and I went looking for lawnmower parts back in the summer. I got chiggers all over me. Some people call them red bugs. Some people call them chiggers. Man, I was eat up from my knees down. I had chiggers all over me. And those things are, Brother Steve, this thing, stronghold, it's something that will get in and it'll work itself in and it'll bury itself in like a chigger. It'll get under your skin and it'll just keep eating and burying itself deeper and deeper into your skin till you get some fingernail polish, and then, honey, it's over then. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, just forget it. If you put fingernail polish on red bugs and chiggers, you smother the hole that they're breathing through and they die. Sometimes we got to smother the devil, don't we? Neither give place to the devil. When you don't give him territory in your mind, you're killing him, man. He can't stand it. Don't let the devil live in your mind rent free. Get him out. Kick him out. I mean, serve him with an eviction notice and quit letting him live in your brain. Brother Steve, me and you've talked about that a lot. And man, I tell you what, there's times he still comes back and he starts trying to whisper right here in my ear. Now, I ain't talking to nobody now. I'm just talking to myself. But he just comes right here and he whispers, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." You can't do this with flesh and blood. You can't do this by arguing with a friend or arguing with a neighbor or cussing your neighbor out or fighting with a neighbor. And no, it's a spiritual battle. Take it to God in prayer. Move fast. Then he says, "For the mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Next verse, real quick, as you stand with me. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the nature of God, and bringing into captivity every thought." What does that mean? When you get a bad thought, when you get a negative thought, when you get a thought that is not of God, when you get a thought that is contrary to the Word of God, and a thought that is in opposition to the Word of God, hey, friend, stop in your tracks and say, "Not today, devil." And then you bring that thought into captivity and you submit that thought to the will of God, and you allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Father, I've done what I felt like I needed to do here today. Father, I know today that this was a lot, and I know today that God, that you are in control of every bit of this. And Lord, I just pray, God, as we continue to walk through this message, as we continue to walk through the things we're walking through today, that God, there are people in this room, God, that are struggling. There are people in this room today that's been in hardships. There's people in this room today, God, that's in the very place that I'm talking about right now. They're there, God. They're under attack of the enemy. So right now, God, we just bind up the hand of hell that comes and the forces of the enemy that comes against the people of God. And Lord, as Paul told the church there at Ephesus to do, to stand and to stand strong in the power of the Lord's might, the strength of God. Father, we want to thank you, God, for being our elder brother. We want to thank you today for never leaving us, never forsaking us, and for God, for being there for us as we go through this thing called life. If you're here today and you need prayer, if you'll meet me in the altar, you don't have to come by yourself. I'll be here with you. You don't have to come by yourself. You don't have to walk alone. I'll be here with you. And I'm asking today that God touch you, that God touch this congregation, that God would help us to be the church that's pleasing to Him. Amen. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock. Have a great afternoon. Be careful as you go, in Jesus' name. Amen.